Well, good morning. Glad to see you all. My name is David Percival, and I have the privilege to serve as the ministry leader for the Celebrate Recovery ministry here at Forest Brook. I began my healing journey in January of 2002 after my 16-year-old son died suddenly. And my wife and I needed to find a way to survive profound guilt, grief, and learn to live as bereaved parents. I held fast to 1 John 1:9, confessing my failings as a parent and receiving God's forgiveness and cleansing from all the unrighteousness I felt. Bereaved Families of Ontario taught me the value of peer support. People who find their soul trapped in a dark pit because of a profound loss find hope in the community of survivors, those who have walked the journey ahead of them and emerged. This experience etched into me the core values of authenticity and personal credibility. After being introduced to Bob LaGresley through the men's ministry in 2005, I had the privilege of sitting with Bob for several hours each week for about 7 years. We loved each other as brothers, and he gently but relentlessly probed every emotional recess and drew out of me every thought and feeling that was in my heart. I cannot honestly say that I always submitted voluntarily to this process, but looking back, I found healing of emotional wounds. As God promises we will in James 5:16, when he says, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed." In the spring of 2014, the church was seriously exploring bringing Celebrate Recovery to Forest Brook. And despite doubts I had about whether my life's experiences had earned me enough credibility to assume this role, I volunteered to serve as ministry leader. Over the past 2.5 years, I have found that the 12-step recovery process has a lot in common with the season of life I spent with Bob, albeit in a more structured form. I can now see that God was preparing me for what was to come. I have continued to explore and learn about my deep and complicated places, including grief, fear, and self-reliance, by working through the 12 steps and 8 principles of Celebrate Recovery in what has become a very close community of brothers and sisters. Thank you for letting me share.
So this morning, as Jim has said, we do look at the whole issue about healing in community. Not much could be closer to my heart. And the message you really are going to hear is from the 3 scripture passages. You're actually going to hear more than 3 voices. And instead of inviting people to come and share a long, complicated testimony, we've asked multiple people to do something that you know is incredibly difficult if you do public speaking. And that is take a whole life journey and in about 1.5 minutes share something meaningful about their story of healing in community. Why have we asked them to do this? Because it's in the Bible. Because we know and believe that God intends for us to live in community, which can be messy and hurtful and joyful, and the place where we find healing. And so I invite you, as Jim has prayed, just to listen for how God might challenge your heart today as we look at these passages and hear from these voices of people who are willing to share some of their journey with us. The first passage we look at comes from John chapter 5. Let me read it with you. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. And now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. It's a long time. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" And "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. And this is the time when healing occurred. While I am trying to get in, someone else always goes down ahead of me. I don't know which saddens our hearts more, the fact that he was in some kind of disabling physical condition for 38 years, or the fact that over the course of 38 years, you can figure out how many days that would be, no one came to help him. Who do you identify with in this story? Some of us here today will identify with the man who feels like we have things about us that are disabling, that remove us from the rest of society, that isolate us, that people don't understand, that make us different. And we desperately need healing. Some of us may look at that story and say, you know, who I find myself thinking about is whether I'm the person who wasn't helpful for 38 years. How many people have God brought into my life, brought into my church, brought into my small group, brought into the life of our family, brought into my community, and somehow I have missed the fact that I have responsibility for them. This is your family. You are my brothers and my sisters, and I need you. We need to be accountable to one another and find ways to pour into the lives of one another. Listen to the voices of two other people from Celebrate Recovery as they share what community has meant to them.
My name's up there. I was born in Belfast, Northern Ireland. When I was 5 years old, my dad left my mother and six kids and left with another woman to go to England. That's what I'm told. His leaving our family left us struggling financially, and it left me bewildered, confused, and not really functional. My mother tried to create a loving environment, which she did, but the growing, deepening sense of abandonment just enveloped me, and a sense of inferiority that I could hardly lift my eyes up to look at other people. It was very crippling. And as a child also, I took seizures that inhibited me to be able to think and to learn at a pace to keep up with others. This only deepened my sense of inferiority and my sense of abandonment. So I became more and more isolated. Indeed, for me, life seemed to be a glass ceiling. I just couldn't reach past and beyond a certain point. But the Lord brought me to a knowledge of Himself. I am putting a lot of time into this one sentence. The Lord dealt with me very deeply, and He brought me to a knowledge of Himself. And slowly, as the years passed, I came to know my true worth in Jesus Christ. I came to know that who I was as a child of God. When I first came to CR 2 years ago now, the non-judgmental spirit and the acceptance of those who were going through deep trauma and deep loss in their own lives, and yet they reached out to me and made me feel part of community, it really had an impact on me. Someone in that group told me, God saves men as individuals, but He heals them in community. And the truth of that was like a thunderbolt. It just went straight into my heart. I thought, that's what it is. I've been isolating myself. I've been cutting myself off. I'm straying a little bit from the text here. But so when I let this truth sink in to my being, and I let God heal me through community, the impossible became possible for me. And over time, my self-isolation, abandonment, and sense of inferiority fell away. I became free. I am becoming what God planned me to be through community. We cannot make this journey on our own. We just cannot do it. We are built for one another, for community, with our Father in heaven. And I thank him so much for revealing this truth to me. Thank you.
I came to Forest Brook out of a broken marriage I did not cause. With ongoing divorce recovery and responsibilities for care of children, following a period of unemployment, and very aware that my daughter had come out as gay, I was afraid of being rejected. I didn't know who I was. My identity had become very confused. I felt isolated, alone, and very different, but I tried to present well. Becoming part of this faith community, I began to find acceptance, unconditional love, plus a new direction and focus for my life. As I participated in men's ministries and various small groups, I started to heal pieces of my brokenness. As a Stephen minister, I learned how to walk alongside others. When Celebrate Recovery started, I decided to check it out to see if it could help others I knew, and I ended up staying for myself. Celebrate Recovery has helped me really step up my healing process for my whole self. I relearned from Romans 8, there is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. My identity is as a believer in Christ Jesus. It is not in the issues I was struggling with. Through CR, I've found a deep sense of deep brotherhood, unconditional acceptance, and a healing of my whole self, and a close, confidential community of fellow strugglers as we continue to do life together. I am very grateful to God for those who have been part of my healing journey as I continue to heal with following the CR process and grow within this Forest Brook community.
James chapter 5. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Them pray, plural. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. We did that yesterday as we celebrated the wedding of Patty and Scott in a wonderful community event as we thanked God for his gift of love to them and the redemption of them and their lives. Scott is part of our Celebrate Recovery group. And it was a wonderful day. We sang songs of praise and gave great praise to God our Father. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person, it says, is powerful and effective. Let me read that sentence again. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. I don't know about you, but for many of us, that is just way over the top. I'm not really in the business of confessing very easily. Those words should be for someone else. And yet you notice the people who are sharing here about their own experiences are not up here pontificating. They are standing on the floor because we are all in this together. And some of the people, as they share their hearts, are telling you that a lot of the things that you might have even seen about them and thought about them are not the real people, are not the things with which they were struggling. And it has been in the process of really being able to find people with whom to share the journey that God has spoken healing in so many different ways. It was interesting when people submitted to me the things that they wanted to talk about. How many people wanted to talk about something related to specifically to this verse, which I think so many of us would just naturally shy away from, perhaps run away from, if in fact were obvious. Confession has a funny sense in our society, but when we think about what that means in terms of being able to be with people who we know are safe, people who will listen to us, people who will love us unconditionally, people who will care about us, whether those are friends that we make in this community, whether those are people in our small group, whether those are people on pastoral staff or people that we can connect you with, we all need people with whom we can be honest. And notice it says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. And it is within that process that God brings healing. I'd ask our next group of people to come and share what this means to them. As they do that, would you listen to these, your brothers and sisters, and let their words and God's healing in their life challenge you and also encourage you.
I'm actually going to get up here.
Are you having fun, Bill?
James 5:16, as Donna read, says, Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Rick Warren, who's the senior pastor at Saddleback Church, where Celebrate Recovery started, says, if you want forgiveness, tell God. If you want healing, tell someone you trust. That's what I found at Celebrate Recovery, a safe place. No pretending I have it all together and life is perfect. A place where I am loved and accepted for the real me. A place I can share the good, the bad, and the ugly without judgment. Celebrate Recovery is an authentic, transparent community with others on the road to recovery. At Celebrate Recovery, I have deep friendships with women who are willing to share their journey with me and walk beside me on mine, who don't try to fix me, but simply love me unconditionally. My accountability partners are a phone call away on the days I struggle and need prayer. They are there to help me when I fall, no judgment, and are my biggest cheerleaders in my victories. It's in this place of vulnerability, honesty, and trust I have found healing and freedom. Thanks for letting me share.
Hi, I came to Celebrate Recovery here at Forestbrook, I believe it was November of 2015. And since then, I've also completed the STEP study, which is an intensive, it took us 10 months meeting weekly with a group of men. I think we're about 10 to 12 men meeting every week. And it was very demanding both of being present at the meetings, but also present by completing the homework. And the homework, again, was quite intensive. There's 24 lessons. Each lesson has a number of questions. And those questions really made me think, made me probe, made me examine myself spiritually, psychologically, emotionally, all those ways. So what the community of the men that I was with made the difference, all the difference for me was in that by coming and sharing our things each week, our answers to our questions, again, probed every aspect of our lives, going right back to our childhood and so on, to our adulthood, we were able to share things, and I personally was able to gain from others as they shared and identify with them, and I even clarify some of my own issues. So that was a huge help. And the other very essential part was the one-on-one times that we had together. Part of CR is that you choose a sponsor, and I chose a sponsor, someone who had been through the STEP study, and who actually I felt had similar issues to mine. As well as that, I chose a number of accountability partners, and so I've kept in touch. I've met with my sponsor on about four different occasions. Each meeting has been 2 hours in length, and so he's really given of his time and of his own experiences, his own insights, which have been very helpful. And again, the other men, I text some, keep in touch with me through texting. Some I meet on Monday nights, because we still meet every Monday night here, and they touch base with me, and it's just all been helpful in my healing, and I continue to appreciate, and I believe I would like to do another STEP study, because there's so much involved that I don't know if I covered it all the first time. So thanks for letting me share.
How has Celebrate Recovery helped me? So many of my issues had been brought to the surface where I can deal with them with the help of my CR community. James 5:16 tells us to confess our sins to each other, to pray for each other, and you may be healed. My accountability team, mentor, and sponsor have been crucial in my healing by giving me ongoing support and prayer daily. It is so important that I had to turn myself to surround myself with community, as when one is not available, another one is. For me, not to isolate myself with my struggles, to openly admit them to myself, to someone I trust, and to God. Through working this program, I have learned about the roots of many of my negative behaviors, my thoughts, brought them to the surface where I can see them in the light of Christ for what they are. Lies of the enemy that no longer apply to this blot daughter of the King of Kings. The Celebrate Recovery program and all the people involved have been a real help to me. I now have hope through Jesus, this program, my brothers, and especially my CR sisters. I decided to share with you today because I was a person who was stuck with negative thoughts, rumination, and worry. I fervently believe that this program has brought healing and hope to my life. Thank you for listening.
Good morning. Some of the key lessons God has taught me center around my need for a group of men friends with whom I can share the fun and healthy parts about me, and with whom I can share and feel secure sharing the sinful, broken, and ugly parts of me. In my younger days, I was a people pleaser, a big overachiever, so I learned to mask my flaws and hide my failures. I did it very, very well. in my three communities, at home, at my workplace, and at my church. Like me, boys and men learn that it is not safe to be honest with each other, to show fear, or show tears. It is a sign of weakness, just ripe to be ridiculed, shamed, and bullied. I have observed this barrier for men in typical Christian men's groups, which reinforce my personal fears of being honest and real in a community. James 5:16, as you have heard and seen earlier, says, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." That's the first part of the verse. But in the men's groups, in my experience, the first six words, "confess your sins to each other," were avoided. Confess our sins? All of them? Really? To each other? In a community? At Celebrate Recovery, I experienced what I had been missing in my whole life. A community where I am real and open and honest about who I am, what I struggle with, what I fail at, and what miracles God can do in my life. At Celebrate Recovery, I am immersed in acceptance and love regardless of my past. I have a strong accountability network now. I am developing bonds of trust with men unparalleled in my previous experience, and I am no longer ashamed. In the midst of this community, I am being healed by God. He is healing my heart, my soul, my being, and my marriage. My healing and recovery is certainly not quick or instantaneous. It is a long journey filled with earthly blessings of being made whole, followed by eternal rewards in heaven. Thank you.
Now, you may be saying that that's okay for them, but probably not for me. And I would like to remind you that in God's economy and God's kingdom, there is only an us. One of the lines that you've heard this morning that I think is just so true is that individuals are saved alone with God. That is a huge decision for anyone when they commit their life totally to Christ. But we heal in community. Take a peek.
I grew up by miles of redwood trees, tall, strong, and beautiful, and I learned a couple of things, that redwoods are the tallest trees in the world. They are some of the strongest, most resilient. Storms and fires cannot take them, and they are Latin for the term forever living. But their roots don't even run that deep. They are only that strong, and they only live that long because their roots intertwine with other surrounding redwood trees. Alone, a redwood won't grow as tall and can sometimes be blown over by the weather. But in a forest of redwoods, underneath the soil's surface, there's millions of roots connected, and they are better together. And when I think of these redwoods, I think of us here. I think of how often we try to go through life by ourselves, the times we've been hurt, the times we've been left, the times we've been damaged by someone else, and so we decide that we are just fine, all alone. But God says, that's not what I created you for. Jesus was passionate about people and community and believed the church was the hope of the world. He calls it a family because here we find our identity. He calls it a temple because we're like pieces that come together to build and hold up one another. He calls it a flock of sheep because we're cared for by the same shepherd. He calls it a body because we're all different parts and no purpose or function is like the other. He calls it his bride because the church is the love of his life, and he calls it a vine or a garden because we're only productive when we're connected. He says the lost have hope through it. He says the hurt are healed through it. He says that we must love, forgive, and fight to protect it because the community of the church is his absolute favorite. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. much like a redwood forest. We need each other to survive. We need to hold on to one another, intertwine, stand firm against the trials of this life. The gates of hell will not have the victory when we are the church God wants us to be. So let's be redwoods. Alone, they can't do much, but together they are miraculous. Together they are brilliant. Together they hold each other up, so no storms, no hell can take them. The church, the bride, the body, the temple, the flock, the family, the garden, the forest of redwoods, whatever you want to call it, God says we're better together. So no matter the weather, fight for it. We were made to grow here. We were made to stand tall here. We were made to be a part of this forest here with each other, representing the creation of God, staying strong against all odds and going through this life together.
Our last passage is from Mark chapter 2, one of my most favorite passages in the whole world. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home, and they gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. The image here is of homes, primitive homes that have a courtyard, an interior courtyard, and when these people arrived, these some men that came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, they carried him, the four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Would you sometime this week open your Bibles to Mark chapter 2 and reread that a couple times? I want you to look at what those four men did. We call this a passage that teaches us about being stretcher bearers. And the image here is a pure one of people who chose to take action. This is not normal behavior. We read it because we've read it so many times. These are people who determined in their heart that they wanted to bring their friend to Jesus. They could not heal him, but they decided to take action. What they carried him on, we don't know. How in the world they got him up the steps, we don't know. We don't know what the discussion is when they got there and realized there was no way to get him to Jesus. Have you ever thought about that? If they're like us, some of them would say, "So let's go home. There's no way that this is ever going to work. We're out of here. Good try." Some of them would say, "It's very, very busy here. It will take us a long time before we're at the front of the line for our friend to see Jesus. Let's go home." Some of them would say, "I have other important things to do. I just can't wait here for forever." Some of us would say, "I need to leave because I'm claustrophobic." But in fact, what they said was, "We're going to stay here. We are going to sacrifice our time and our energy and whatever it means to the people around us to actually rip somebody's roof apart and lower this person to Jesus." Why? Why are we going to do such odd things? Because we want our friend to be healed. Because we can only bring him to the foot of Jesus and then let Jesus do his work. And our call in each of our lives as Christians in our community is to be that of stretcher bearers. The end of this passage is often overlooked. We know that there were holy men, men who were really concerned about scripture and following the rules there, watching. And the end of this passage says simply, "This amazed everyone." So all the people that were there were amazed by what they saw, by Jesus' healing of this man, which would not have happened were it not for his friends, his stretcher bearers. And they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this before." My prayer for our community is that we would be one in which people would see the love of God in such a profound way. They would see a community like the Redwoods that is committed to being interwoven, to caring for one another, to love and to pray, and to do whatever it takes of our time and our energy to sacrifice for one another, to bring people to the feet of Jesus. And the world will be amazed. And Jesus will continue to do his work. And the Great Commission will be fulfilled. We have three more people who are going to come and quickly share their own thoughts as we finish today. And as they come, these are my friends, and I just want to thank them for their vulnerability. This is not an easy thing to do. And they come not because they think they're great, although I think they're great, but they come because they know the grace of God, and they wanted to be able to share that as part of their journey of healing.
God has used Celebrate Recovery to bring healing into my life. Through this process, God showed me what I do is not who I am. God has forgiven me of my past, my present, and future sins. God shows me that he has forgiven me, but there are consequences of my sin of which I must take responsibility. God has used Celebrate Recovery program to deepen my relationship with him. I, now, daily take time with God. By taking that time of reading my Bible, learning more about God, I have deepened my trust in God, and I can open my heart to him more. This is where the healing has begun in my life. God has been so faithful. What does that mean to me? At the times when I have most needed to hear from God, he has spoken to me either through his word, through my devotions, or a friend. God has been constant in my life when nothing else has been. I have not walked this journey alone. I thank God every day for my accountability team. I wouldn't have wanted to walk this journey without them. God is showing me that I need to be still and to hear him speak to me. The only way I can be drenched in his spirit is to be still. God's spirit is like dew. Where there is a storm or high winds, there is no dew. Dew only falls where it is still. I am learning to understand what it means to be still and to hear God. Don't you want to be in a community like the Redwoods? Or are you just fine alone? Come to Celebrate Recovery and learn what it is to know that someone cares about you. God says that we are stronger, better together. I ask you, what is stopping you from taking the first step to healing? Thank you.
Hi, my name's Jonathan. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus who's found healing in many, many areas of my life. The interesting thing about my introduction to Celebrate Recovery was that it was a Christian probation officer who suggested me to go to this program. And since then, I've found healing in many, many areas of my life and continue to look forward to the healing that continues to go. At Celebrate Recovery, sorry, I got to put these glasses, this is the awkward part. At Celebrate Recovery, often our lessons are what they call an acrostic. And so they take the letters of whatever the lesson is and they make the lesson out of it. So today, I've taken healing and made my own little CR acrostic. The H, we go H. The H in healing is help from others. The only people who can be helped are those who want to be helped. And so the H is for the help that I've received from others in healing. The E is E. Hey, amen, brother. The E in E in healing has been encouragement. Biblical. Encourage one another. I remember as a kid at church, there was encouragement cards that we used to put in the offering plate, and they would get mailed out throughout the week to families, to people, encouraging one another. Is there anybody here who doesn't like being encouraged? I think not. I get encouraged through my CR brothers from, as they've mentioned, a text, a Bible verse, prayer, meeting in thing. Yesterday, I was walking across the street with grocery bags, and one of my CR brothers saw me walking and pulled into the parking lot, and we stopped in the parking lot, and I received encouragement. Encouragement is healing. So that's the E in healing. A, come on. Ask for forgiveness. In healing, we have to ask for forgiveness. Luke 6:37 says, I condemn not, I shall not be condemned. I forgive, and I will be forgiven. Amen. L. All right, listen and learn. One of the key components I think you've heard about CR is not fixing one another, but it's listening to other people's experiences, what they've walked through, and then it can be a totally different issue than what you may be struggling with, but you learn from their experience. It's very, very powerful to just sit back and listen and learn. The I is instruction. CR is a very biblical-based program that has a very clear laid-out format that instructs us in helping us to follow a process. And George spoke about the step study. And that is instruction that helps us in biblical healing. And never give in and never give up. The more I walk with God, the better I feel about the person He created me to be. I am a masterpiece. G is one that we all should know. It's but for God's grace, God's healing grace, grace that is greater than my sin. Thank you for allowing me to share how CR has been instrumental and a cornerstone in my healing.
I just want to point out at CR, you get 3 to 5 minutes to share. Not two, but today I'll keep it shorter. You have an amazing basement here. I've been working on my recovery in your basement since 2015. I've been around church all my life, and I knew how to play church from a very young age. It's an easy act. How are you doing today? Good. Fine. Can we just get real for a second? Let's have a heart-to-heart here. Listen to what I'm asking you. Have you ever come to church and pretended to be okay, even though you were struggling with sin in your life? That was hidden. Have you ever lied to someone you cared about deeply? Have you behaved differently at work than you would at home? Have you ever looked in secret at something that if you were caught, you would be ashamed of? Have you ever gone into an adult establishment or store in secret? Have you flirted or lusted over another person while in a relationship or a marriage? Have you broken your marriage vows? I have. Have you ever felt so empty and broken to the point you thought your marriage, the people important in your life, and any hope was gone? I have. I'd become a tired and hollow actor. I'd created a life of distractions, a life filled with activity, sports, church, family, work, a life with hidden sin. In October 2015, I hit my rock bottom. God spoke to me in a very special way, and I knew I couldn't carry on treating my life as a game. With immense shame, guilt, fear, and tears, I confess my sinful mess of a life to my wife, family, and pastor. It was a very painful time, and we separated for a few months. I knew I needed help. I asked God for help, and I sought it out. God's church community was there for me, my wife, and my family. I sought and have received professional Christian counseling. I was referred to a group program. I found out it was called CR. I have walked with other brothers who were walking through their recovery. I have brothers who held me accountable and brothers who I hold accountable. I chose a sponsor who I now call a brother and a good friend. I speak with and text with those brothers weekly and often daily. I work the 12 steps with those brothers. The inventory was hard, and so was the detailed admission of my sins, and I'm still working on my amends. God has lifted me up and shown me his mercy and restoration. I have a real and personal relationship with my Savior, Jesus Christ. I no longer live hiding behind my mask or managing the truth. My marriage has been restored. In January 1st of this year, in the quietness of our home, my wife and I renewed our wedding vows to each other. My relationship with my children have been greatly restored. I have many new relationships with brothers and sisters in Christ. As I say in CR, Christ never wastes a hurt. I have been asked by the elders of Uxbridge Baptist Church to be the ministry leader of a Celebrate Recovery called North Durham Celebrate Recovery. We open the doors June 15th this year. The many members of this church, Forestbrook, have been instrumental in the startup of that program, and they've helped out immensely. If you are struggling with your hurts, hang-ups, and habits, don't think you're going to do it alone. You weren't meant to do it alone. God loves you so much, and his grace and healing is waiting for you. You do have a choice. Listen to what he's asking of you. Thank you.
I've asked Jeff to come and share a song with us as we close our message. A unique message you've heard, right? In many different ways. The only way that we can be who God calls us to be in the lives of others is to be as Christ was, and that is a servant. The passage we read about in Philippians chapter 2 is probably the best. It says who Christ really was, and yet he chose to take the image of a servant and to come and give sacrificially his very life for us. And I don't know, and no one knows, if God will heal you completely of your pain and your suffering, physical or emotional or past hurts on earth, or whether that is only going to happen when we see Jesus face to face. But I do know that until that time, Jesus has placed us in community to bring others to the foot of the cross, to bring them to Jesus, whatever it demands of us to help others see the reality of God's grace that you have heard spoken about so articulately today, that he might work in the lives of others, bringing them forgiveness and healing and hope in their time. No more sorrow, no more pain. And so I ask you, as we listen to this song, which Jeff sings, if you know it and you want to sing along, certainly feel free. It's a powerful song. And for those of us also who today are part of a community that's in a community of mourning, the song is also reminds us about the joy that Gord has and the joy that we all will have when one day we see Jesus face to face and we rise to be with him and we experience complete healing. And that's where we want to end our series on healing. When Jeff is finished, I invite you to go and have communion, which is going to be served to you today by one of the members of the people from Celebrate Recovery, most of you whom you've heard of. Also, we invite you to bring your offering today to the communion table and give that back to Christ as part of your offering. So I invite you to listen to this song and let it permeate your heart as we listen to God for what he might be saying to us as a church and what he might be saying to us as individuals about our part in healing in community.